Welcome to Hot Breath Comedy Fam. On Monday, May 13th, I am teaching a clean comedy workshop. The last four I have taught sold out very quickly. So if you want to learn about clean comedy, the business side, where the line is, how to write clean comedy, go to the link in the description of this episode and we'll see you there.
What's up, Hot Breathiverse? We are back. Reporting to you live from our secret Facebook group. If you're not a member, it's called the Hot Breath Comedy Network on Facebook. Give it a join. Connect with us. This is our first ever long-form Q&A, and I am so excited. I get asked so many questions every week, and it is just so inspirational that I decided to collect all of these questions you've posted online and do them in a concise episode for you to refer to and maybe hear of other hot brethren and sistern out there, and you can connect with them. So, you know, this podcast is free. All I ask as an entry fee is for you to share it with fellow comedians. So if you enjoy this one and find it educational, just let another comic know at an open mic, or just share this link, or whatever you got to do. You know what we're doing here. We're building a comedy network. So that being said, let's get into this Q&A. By the way, my question to you, have you seen our new website yet? Hotbreathpodcast.com? You haven't seen it yet? Go give it a gander. I think you'll enjoy the blogs and all sorts of fun activities we have going on over there. What's up, Danny? What's up, Aaron? I guess I should look at the camera when I say these things. This is our first ever. I'm so nervous. But let's get into it, all right? I love the community that's being built here, and I love the questions you've been asking, so thank you so much for engaging. People watching live, I'm answering questions people posted ahead of time. If you have a question, we can maybe circle back to them at the end, but I do want to get to these that people posted ahead of time. Hey, Beth. Hey. So here we go. Let me pull up my questions. All right, so question number one of the number one ever Hot Breath Podcast Q&A. Calvin Coy Sutley, fellow Hot Brethren, actually here in Atlanta, asked, what's your favorite place to perform in ATL, also outside of ATL? Well, my favorite place in Atlanta, I can't really pick a favorite, but if I had to, I gotta say the Laughing Skull. There's really just no room I've performed at in the country that just has that energy and intimate connection with an audience. It's a small black box theater, and it, man, when you get them going, you just get them going in there. There's a reason that Laughing Skull has been mentioned on multiple podcasts. Most recently, Joe Rogan was talking about it on there with Ron White. So there's a reason comedians enjoy Laughing Skull. So if you haven't been to Atlanta, definitely come to Atlanta just to check out the Laughing Skull. It's amazing. And my favorite place outside of Atlanta, it's got to be the Comedy Store. In my opinion, the Comedy Store is the Mecca. That is the pilgrimage that we should all take as comedians at some point, to go at least see the Comedy Store. I've been fortunate enough to perform there a handful of times now, and just being in that building and then being around all those comedians that just work out there nightly, there's just nothing like it. So just knowing you're getting to share the stage with the top comedians that are alive and that are now dead, but that have lived and performed there, it's just so inspirational. So Atlanta, the Laughing Skull. Outside of Atlanta, it's got to be the Comedy Store. But that being said, I love comedy, and I love performing at a lot of different places. But Coy cornered me into picking one, so I picked those two. All right, moving on. Krista Vera asked, how often do you ghost people? I don't. That is a big reason I'm doing this Q&A, actually, is because I love connecting with people. I love learning from other people. So, big tip. don't ghost people. Don't be that guy or gal. And if I have ghosted you, I'm sorry. I'm sure it wasn't intentional. But it's a bad habit to have. I didn't really want to ghost the question, so I address it briefly. But let's move on, huh? Ooh, Beth said Laughing Skull is her favorite, too. Shout out to you, Beth. It's true. It's a one-of-a-kind. It's a gem in the comedy world. All right. So exciting. Next question. Alguien pregunta. Sorry, that was Spanish. I actually said alguien, I believe, is someone. So it doesn't even mean next. El próximo pregunta. Maybe that's what that means. Coming up next, Richard Dweck, who I believe runs the Epic. I can't believe I was going to plug that, and then I don't even know the name of it. Epic Stand-Up Comedy. He runs, I believe that's the group he runs on Facebook. It's an awesome group. There's a lot of great, comedy talk going on in there at the Epic Stand-Up Comedy Facebook group. But he asked, do you feel it is priority to learn how to do clean material? I personally, and even with like my students in my classes and workshops, I don't tell people what to say. I can only base it on my personal experience and what I have learned over the years. Personal experience, my priority is to do clean material. Since I started, I set the bar that I want to be able to do the same jokes I do in a church, that I do in a nightclub, that I do in a college, that I do at a bar at 2 a.m. So my goal since I started was to always be able to make material work everywhere and anywhere in front of anyone. That would play into the being clean. One of the quotes I heard early on that really affected me was Chris Rock talking about in an interview how if he could change one thing, it would be that he would have started clean instead of dirty, because he said then he would have Ray Romano money. So I'm not going to say there's a right or wrong. I'm not going to say if you do dirty material, then you're doing comedy wrong. And just my personal experience, my personal preference, I make being clean a priority. From all the bookers I've interviewed, even they have different opinions on whether or not you should be clean or dirty. I will say there is more work just in the law of just averages. There's more work in being clean. Because you can be hilarious and dirty, but can you do that at a church? Could you do that at a corporate event? Maybe you don't want to do churches and corporate events, but I do know those do pay. And part of the job of being a comedian is to, you know, get paid to be funny. But if you're dirty, by all means, be dirty. But whatever you decide, I would say make the decision early on. Like, set your standards, set your vision. My vision early on from starting comedy was I want to be clean and universal. What is your goal? What is your vision with your comedy? How do you want to be perceived as a comedian? And just go from there. People make a living being dirty all the time. So really, it's at the end of the day, it's personal preference. You know, comedy is just you on stage expressing your thoughts. So have at it. But you asked me my priority. It is to be clean. Good question, though, Richard. Good question. It's a thing I've asked a lot on my podcast. And it just comes down to personal preference. Playing into actual relatability and material, the next question here from Alan Michael Harbour asked, what is the best way to write bits about esoteric things? For example, I'm a fan of anime and cosplay, and I want to write bits about them, but still make it easy to understand and relatable. Good question. I would venture to say, if you're wanting it to be relatable, these more esoteric topics, maybe relate them to more relatable topics. So there's a way to, if you're talking about anime or cosplay in front of an audience that doesn't know, if you can connect it to something they do know, then that can help build the joke and it adds a new point of view on the material. So if it is a little more abstract and obscure and the audience may not know, a simple clarification that, for example, I'm a fan of anime and cosplay. If you don't know what that is, that's like I don't, football and soccer for nerds. I don't know. That's a terrible example. But you see what I'm saying in terms of just relating it to something that may be more universal. So you're just tying it to something people can connect to. And honestly, just making it a unique experience. So if you're not talking about anime or cosplay from a third person experience, but if you're actually taking them to a first person reenactment or first person account of you and your fandom of anime and cosplay, then the audience will go with you. So the audience connects with you through your material. So there's a lot of people that'll do jokes where I was at this place that one time talking to that person about that thing. And then, so you're just like pointing. You're just like, there's this thing that happened back in the day over there, blah, blah, blah. But if you take them to the moment and you take them to the person and take them to your mindset in that moment. So instead of talking secondhand, no, talk in the present about what had happened. And I think that'll help them connect with the more esoteric kind of concepts, is to actually connect it to you. So don't talk, if you are talking about more absurd and abstract, I think a quote I heard from Steve Martin was that, you know, you can get as absurd as you want as long as it's grounded. As long as it's connected to something in reality, then you can use that as a launch pad to get as absurd as possible. So if you do talk more about the esoteric, just make sure it's grounded in you and what your personal experience and connection and point of view of cosplay and anime is. And the audience will go there with you because they're listening to you, the comedian. They're connecting with you and what you're talking about. And the more personal, the more universal. Boom. Hashtag Joelisms. Good question, though. Good question. I would be interested to hear that material as well. So maybe in the Facebook group, you could post the clip of you talking about this, and maybe other people maybe have an opinion about it. Oh, Alan. Alan joined the group, and I just answered his question. And Carter Bryant. What's up, Carter? Carter just ordered the Joel Byers writing notebooks that I don't have offhand, but I just had... It's all good. I just had, just created some custom Joel Byers notebooks. So if you're wanting one to take around to shows with you, holla at your boy. All right, let's move on to the next one. Great question, though, Alan. I hope that was helpful. Let's get into the next one. This is fun. Thanks, y'all, for posting questions. All right. Ooh, Denise Carter has a couple here. So this is exciting. Denise Carter asks, how did your podcast become so popular with seasoned comics? So I think the main way the podcast has grown and is growing. What's good, Steve? Steve Rivera, hot brother and up in Detroit. I believe all the way up in Detroit is in the building. So Denise asking how it became so popular with seasoned comics. I think how this podcast has grown and continues to grow is really just through reputation and word of mouth. So I think a lot of comics just hear about it through the grapevine and hear, hey, there's a dope podcast going on here with a lot of dope content and insight around the craft of comedy. So I think a lot of it has just grown from word of mouth, people like you sharing it, and it just kind of goes through the grapevine. I will say, and thinking of, I guess, seasoned comics, a lot of it has been... Oh, sorry, Steve. Sorry, I just interrupted my own answer to answer Steve's. Sorry, I thought you were in Detroit. He's in Indy. I was just up there for the World Series of Comedy, and I can't believe I didn't hit you up. I thought you were in Detroit. Back to the question. I am so, so sorry, Denise. But long story short, I think it's a lot of word of mouth, and I think it's a lot of just referrals is how, when thinking of seasoned comics specifically, like for instance, when I interviewed Roy Wood Jr., we did the interview at like 7 a.m. the morning after he recorded his Comedy Central special here in Atlanta. So he was up late recording two tapings of his comedy special and then still got up to do the podcast. It literally, this was like 7 a.m. in the lobby of his hotel room. And that was because just credible referrals from some of my comedian friends I've built over the network, letting him know, hey, this is worth your time. This is not just some other interview. This will be a good look. The Hot Breathiverse would really appreciate it. So referrals coming from other credible seasoned comics, I think, is really how it's helped for us to connect also with the more seasoned comics. So you sharing it and you connecting with my guests. So if you heard Roy Wood Jr.'s episode and then you reach out to him and let him know you enjoyed the Hot Breath episode, aka Hot Breathisode, that really does make a difference. I've had several guests reach out like, whoa, your listeners really engage and really connect. Congrats. Because that'll go a long way then if Roy Wood Jr. knows that, hey, there's a credible audience going on over at Hot Breath. He'll be more likely to refer me to other comedians that maybe I'm looking to get onto the podcast. So word of mouth in the short of it. Denise also asked, what comes first, confidence or material? Material. I focused solely on writing first. The confidence, in all honesty, stage time. Stage time, stage time, stage time. You will develop confidence just naturally and organically through the repetition of being on stage. Period. So in the meantime, while you're building that confidence and that delivery, the material, the writing, that's going to be your best weapon of choice. Because when you do get the confidence, then you can use your attitude as an attribute and its own weapon on stage. But first, it's that material. I was doing straight up one-liners, just working on the mechanics of like how a joke works first. And now I'm more, a little more complex than just one-liners. But regardless of the comedian's style, we're all using the same mechanism of a joke at the end of the day. Regardless of how you actually deliver it, there's still a mechanical aspect to joke writing that I think you should focus on early on. It's going to give you a huge advantage down the road. So first, the material comes first. You can practice it way more than the stage. You can be on stage at night, but during the day, what are you doing? Writing material, just writing a wealth of material will help you to get that confidence faster also. Because, if you have more material, then you're upping your chances of getting better jokes, which upping your chances of getting more laughs. And the more laughs you get, the more confident you're going to get. That's why it's always so important to get a laugh within the first 15 or 20 seconds of your set. Because once you get that laugh, then you get that, oh, I can do this. And the audience gets that, oh, they can do this. So material will lead to confidence. But material, material, material. And this really ties into the next question from Kiki Maroon, who asked, what book or books do you recommend comics read? I wanted to give this one some thought. I do enjoy reading. I do find it very beneficial. And I narrowed it down to 5 because I had a stack of them and I was like, come on, Joel, don't give them a whole library. So that being said, I recommend you reading in general. I don't care if it's Harry Potter or if it's The Alchemist. I mean, just... or, some sports almanac. I think writing and reading and performing all go hand in hand. When I read, I can tell a difference in my brain with the words I'm finding and how quick I am. When I'm reading, it just keeps my brain firing. And I look at reading as almost like watering the plant of my mind, if that makes sense and doesn't sound too woo-woo. But I look at reading as just kind of nourishing my mind, fertilizing my mind. So when I am doing more long-form podcasts like this or performing, I just grab words. What's the word? Quicker. Quicker. You see what I did there? I said quicker, but slower. So I recommend reading in general. however you read, whatever you read, I think it's very valuable to just read. So that being said, a few of the books that I just thought I would recommend just off the jump. When we're talking about the mechanism of a joke, this is the book. This is the book I would recommend. This is a Greg Dean book, Step by Step to Stand-Up Comedy. This is the only comedy book I've read cover to cover. So I'm not like an affiliate. I'm not selling these. I am selling my book called The Comics Playbook. If you want to check that out, it's a writing book for comics. But this one just really is, it's good at breaking down the mechanism of a joke. It helps you to understand how a joke works, and really more specifically one-liners. And I think that's a great place to start. When I interviewed Jeff Justice on here, he talked about one-liners being like the scales of a joke. So I think one-liners are a great place to start just to understand even why and how things are funny. And this book is great at finding inspiration from your life and starting to distill it into comedy material. So I would recommend this one. I think it's a great, very valuable book. That the first book I ever got in stand-up, and it's still the only one I've actually read cover to cover. So the other comedy-related book is The Comedy Bible. I really am saying this one just because it's here. And I've read some of it. I haven't read all of it, but I've heard it's a very credible book. I do know it has a lot of good quotes from professional comedians in here. So it'll have like a lesson and then the quote from a credible comedian talking about it. So this is just kind of a staple in comedy. I've read maybe a quarter of it, but not to say it's not good. You know, it's just it ended up just not being my sauce. If we are going to get outside of comedy writing, because I do want to use this as also an opportunity just to not inspire you, but just to maybe spark an interest outside of just comedy, to learn from more than just comedians and what is comedy related. I find the most value in listening to architects talk about their process. Listen to mindset experts talking about their process and their expertise. I have found the most value in learning from people outside of comedy. So that being said, I also like to read books that are outside of comedy. I have read books like Born Standing Up, the Steve Martin book, and others. But I also read other things like Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers. This is a good book, and just, it's called The Story of Success. This is a good book just to kind of, and he has other books too. Blink is another one I've read of his. But he has a really good job of just researching an interesting topic and finding a lot of unique point of views around that topic. So Outliers is just one, and what makes people unique and how you can be unique and use what is uniquely yours to find success. Outliers was a great one to do that with. Hey, Kimmy T, joining the Facebook Live here. Another one, John C. Maxwell, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. I've been big on mindset lately. I'm actually in the middle of reading a book called Mindset by Carol Zweck. But John C. Maxwell, he has a lot of good books on leadership I've read as well. Because as a comedian, you can look at, you're a leader. You're the leader of a pack while you're on stage. So what are qualities of a leader? Maybe reading about leadership is a good way to learn about those attributes. In this book, John C. Maxwell's 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, this was actually recommended to me by Tierra Burrell. If you haven't heard her episode, she's been on here twice. They're so good. She is a health expert that actually recommended this book to me after our second interview. We were talking, and she's like, you've got to read this. And I read it, and it really has helped me to add a new perspective. You know, I set high goals this year for the first time in my entire life. And this book is one of the ways that kind of motivated me to do that and how I can do that. So if you're kind of stuck in your rut, stuck in your comfort zone, this is a good book to get out of that comfort zone. Or just looking at growth mindset in general. Think and Grow Rich is another interesting book I've read. But just get outside of just the norm. All right, you're listening to this clearly because you're thirsty for knowledge and thirsty to learn from other people. And use this as kind of your jumping off point to, okay, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to read a book outside of comedy, or I'm going to read one of these books he mentioned. Just use this to start getting the ball rolling. Get out of your comfort zone. Start learning from other people outside of what your profession, what your business is. I'll read teaching books as well. Because, you know, I teach comedy and things like that, but just learning as a comedian, you know, I like people to be entertained, but also educated as they're listening. Okay, well, how do people learn? How can I do jokes around how people learn? My phone's ringing. I don't know that number, though. So I just ghosted a number. There you go. There you go. I got asked earlier how often I ghost people. There you go, Christy. I just ghosted an unknown number. Oh, good call, Steve. Steve actually reads Maxwell as well, so that's good. He said Falling Forward is a dope one too, so that's interesting. And the final one that I read in Talking of Mindset, The Mind of a Winner by Steve Canal. He's actually been on the podcast. This guy is actually a marketing executive who's worked with big companies like Coors Miller in terms of just understanding how the mind works. And this book, he interviews people like 2 Chainz and Damon John from Shark Tank. And there's just a lot of different cool people he's interviewed in here and getting around their mindset and thinking of, you know, connecting with other people, learning from people outside of your business expertise. You know, this guy is a marketing executive in the corporate world, but he's interviewing athletes. He's interviewing real estate people. He's interviewing artists. He's interviewing fashion people. So if anything we learned from this little diatribe, get outside of your world. Start learning from other people. I think you'll be very inspired and very surprised pleasantly at what you can learn. Whew. Great question, Kiki. I did not realize that was going to go on like that, but that was rich right there. Let's see here. Denise asked another question. What are the ways to learn the comedy business? Well, one, listening to Hot Breath is a good one. And an easy way to get access to all the episodes based around a certain theme, if you go to the website hotbreathpodcast.com, there's a search bar at the top. You can just click in a topic and it'll pull up all the episodes about that topic. Boom. There you go. But in another sense, if you're wanting to learn about the comedy business, really, I would say the easiest thing you can do is to get around comedians that are good at the comedy business. So if you're out at shows or you're on social media and you notice a specific comedian really good at the business side, get around them. I just posted a Type 5 podcast last week, people asking, you know, how to get booked more. Well, get around people that are getting booked. Learn from the people doing what you want to do. Andrew Schultz on here, who was posted just a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, look at someone who's doing what you want to do and figure out how to do it better and do it. So if you want to learn about the comedy business, get around people that are in the comedy business. Get around people who are doing business like you want to do and observe them, ask them questions, just learn from their moves and what they're doing. That's going to be the best way. That's going to be the best way to learn the comedy business beyond just doing research on valuable resources like Hot Breath Podcast. Good question, though. Good question. It could be having in mind also what are your goals in business as well. So if you may need to take a step back and realize, what do I want to achieve? Okay, who is achieving it? And then go from there. Good question, though. Ooh, Denise also asked, how much material should a comic post on YouTube? This is a personal preference, in my opinion. I only have like one set on YouTube, and that's just for bookers to see and people who may stumble upon me. Some people have multiple sets. There's no real right or wrong, in my opinion. And hey, maybe I'm doing YouTube wrong because I only have one set of me doing stand-up. That's also, you know, it also connects to my website, so it's a way for people to see me do stand-up. But everyone has an opinion about how much material should be on there. Some people are like, don't put any on there. But I just have enough for bookers to see. I'm not really trying to blow up on YouTube and just be like, oh, that was that comedian. It's more just people find me. Hey, here's him doing stand-up. It's all personal preference, really. And if you were wondering, like, my clip is just a 5-minute set as well. It's not even like a longer set. It's really just a 5-minute set of me doing stand-up. Just for people as a point of reference to get to know me a little bit when they stumble upon me. All right. Winding it down here, kiddos. Winding it down here. Let's see. Yeah. Zachary Ryan. I'm an open micer who tends to gravitate towards dead babies. Oh, my. You think I should stick to my guns? Or maybe develop a little as a comedian before swinging for the soft spot? In parentheses, fences. I think you answered your own question there, buddy. In terms of what you should do. You think I should stick to my guns or develop a little more as a comedian? I would say develop more as a comedian. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but you said you're an open micer, so chances are you haven't developed the just the confidence to deliver a dead baby joke in a way. Like we talk about material versus confidence, and yeah, we can hear Louis C.K. do a dead baby joke, or he has a joke where he says the N-word in it. But this is someone who's been doing it over 20 years and has developed their voice and their point of view and the confidence on stage to deliver a seemingly not funny joke or shocking, but it actually makes it digestible and palatable. An open micer, it's no offense. I mean, I don't even think I'm at a stage where I can make a dead baby joke funny, or I just don't seek that. So I would recommend to keep developing as a comedian, and then you can circle back to that stuff. A really good quote I've heard is, everyone wants to be like a George Carlin, where we talk about the Illuminati and the war and blah, 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 and these more like high-level concepts. But you first have to figure out how to be funny. I know. I wish there was a shortcut. First, figure out how to be funny. So that may start with more silly jokes. Just more of just, how can I write a joke that's funny? Okay, how can I write a personal joke that's funny? I started off doing one-liners. There wasn't really any personal connection. It was more of just me saying funny things that got laughs sometimes because the setup punch misdirect. I just worked on that mechanism of the joke. Set them up, misdirect. Set them up, misdirect. So I would recommend starting there. And unless, I don't know why you would really talk about dead babies unless you have a personal experience with it. So kind of like talking back to the anime and cosplay concept in terms of just making it personal to you, I would recommend instead of pointing outward, point inward. Start talking about personal things, your personal experience, your personal point of view. And I would be interested to hear how that affects your writing style and your performance and your confidence. Because usually when you're talking about more personal stuff, you can deliver it in a more natural way as opposed to just trying to, shoehorn in this dead baby joke. Give us more about Zachary. What's your personal experience? Where are you from? What's your story? Let's take a step back here and just focus on how you can make yourself funny. And then make more crazy things like dead babies funny, if you still seek that. Which I have a feeling, once you figure out Zachary Ryan and what is uniquely funny about him and his story and his point of view, I think you're going to find a whole new voice in comedy. And I think that can help anyone out there listening to this. Focus on you. Make that a goal this week, even just to, let's get a little more introspective with our material and get back to me on how that's helped. So develop as a comedian. Figure out just first how you can be funny. Develop how you're funny on stage. Why are people laughing? You know, it grows incrementally, but it's, and thinking of being aware of how you're funny, that's when recording your sets come into play. Always record your sets and listen back on them, because you're going to start to pick up on things you say you forgot about, but then ended up getting laughs just because that was you being authentically you. So really challenge yourself to just do the job of a comedian, record your sets, and review them. It's a game changer, I'm telling you. And I count reviewing as writing. So when I listen to a set, I'm like, oh, cool, I did writing today. I all count those small victories. Get back to me on that, Zachary. And everyone else listening to this, take that challenge to, you know, one, be more personal, and also record your sets and listen back on them. You know, through listening back on my sets, I learned that me being sarcastic on stage is funny. So I learned I can use more sarcasm to get more laughs. But that only came from being more self-aware and listening back on my sets and reviewing what, not only what I'm saying is funny, but also how I'm saying it and how it's funny. Good question, though. We all go through these struggles. I mean, early on, I was doing ridiculous jokes that weren't true, but it was just more just silly that I would never do now. But take on the challenge, Zachary. Good question, though. A lot of people are kind of in that same boat and thinking of, well, what do I talk about? All right, and moving on here. Hey, Steve Rivera just plugged his Pops and the Rican show. Anyone else want to listen to a podcast? After this one, of course. He's just saying Hot Breath inspired him to start his Pops and the Rican show. So I appreciate that. Always happy to help and motivate. So, the final question of this Q&A. You guys have been so awesome. I'd like to do more of these. If you would like to hear more of these, let me know. You know, connect with us on social media. And I think we can start making this kind of a maybe a monthly thing, maybe a weekly thing as additional content. You know, if these answers are helpful, reach out with other questions. I'm happy to answer them. And now, that being said, there's only one thing left to do. And that is answer this last question from, I don't think we've heard from this person before, Denise Carter. Yeah, comics, post questions. They're going to get answered. It doesn't matter how many. So Denise Carter asks, and this is a great one to end on here. What are the three top qualities needed to make it as a comedian who can get consistent work? Okay. Great question. This is a good one to end on here. The three top qualities needed to make it as a comedian who gets consistent work. Consistency. You want to be booked consistent? Well, be consistent. Okay, Joel, well, what are we consistent at what? Okay. I would say the top three things to be consistent at. If you want to get work, that means you want to be professional, which means you need to conduct yourself as a professional comedian. So what does that entail? Well, one, being consistently funny. If you're getting paid to do a show, this isn't an open mic. You're not up there just to try out new material. That's something I need to tell comics at the competition I host here in Atlanta is, hey, you're competing for cash. And you're competing for weekend work at this club. So don't do an open mic. Don't just be up there guessing. Do your A material. If you're getting paid to do comedy, do the job of comedy. Don't be up there, oh, let me do this whole new bit I wanted to try out about dead babies. No, do what you know works. Do the job. So one, if you want to get consistent work, be consistently funny. Number two, be consistently on time. You want to treat this as a job, be on time. You're on time to work, most of you. So be on time to the comedy show. And on time doesn't mean, oh, it's an 8 o'clock show, you get there at 8. That means you get there early, like 7:30. Just be around, be accessible. I can't tell you, as someone who also has hosted several shows and booked several shows, there's nothing more annoying than a comic showing up like right on time or a little bit late, and you're just wondering where they are the whole time. Like, are they going to show up? Should I have booked extra people just in case they don't show up? Do I need to reach out to someone to fill in their spot? Be early, okay? Be professional. This is a job. You're showing up to the workplace. So show up early to your job and do your job well. That means be on time and be funny. And the third, be nice. Be professional. Where you are working, that is your workplace. Treat it like that. Be nice to the staff. The interview we just did last week with Joe Lowers, the owner of the World Series of Comedy, that was a big thing he said, was be nice to the staff. These are your coworkers. You never know. There may be a waitress there who ends up being the booker of the club in 2 years. You never know who anyone is. Just be nice to everyone. That's just good business practice in general. Be someone people want to work with. Okay? So, you want to get consistent work? Three things to be consistent at. Be consistently funny, be consistently on time, and be consistently professional. Nice. You want to be a working comedian? Act like it. All right? So, that was a lot, but that was good. I'm glad we did this. I feel good about that. Zachary Ryan, I just answered your question about dead babies, and then you just tuned in here on the Facebook group. So shout out to everyone that tuned in here at the Hot Breath Comedy Network Facebook group. I appreciate y'all so much. All the great questions you asked as well. I hope you found this helpful. We're going to start doing more of these. So if you do have questions, feel free to reach out and let's keep doing these episodes. Let's keep connecting. I love hearing from you. I love building this community together. So however I can do that, let's do that together. So in the meantime, you do have your homework. You've got a lot of good insight today. I wouldn't say try out and go do everything. I'd say pick one thing we talked about this week. Go forth and do that, whether that's talking about more material more personally, or that's working on, you want to learn about the comedy business? Okay, surround yourself with comedians that are good at the business. Or maybe you're trying to write a little more absurd topics. Okay, how can you tie them to yourself? Or how can you do a personal anecdote about the absurdity to keep it grounded? If you want to be more clean, maybe focus on polishing up your material. You know, focus on, okay, I do, after listening to this, would like, maybe my priority is to be more clean. Okay, how can you do that? But remember, the more personal, the more universal. So challenge yourself, get out there, be more personal on stage. It's really going to be a competitive advantage to you to stand out from all the other comics out there. And start reading. Anywhere, anytime, read the newspaper. Just read. You're going to be very surprised at just how your brain starts to function more efficiently, and you start to find more words more effectively and better words just because you've been milling them through your mind every day. And sometimes I'll read for 30 minutes. Sometimes I read 2 pages. I don't beat myself up. I don't set a regimen like that. I just am sure to always read at least a page a day. All right. So in the meantime, if you do want to start your light reading, you can go to hotbreathpodcast.com. We have a blog over there. You can start reading. If you have an idea for a blog, hey, I'm open to it. I'm open to featuring your work on hotbreathpodcast.com. So if you have an idea for an article, if there's a hot topic in comedy or news about a comedian or comedians, I'm open. So reach out to me with your concept or reach out to me with your blog, and we'll see if we can get it up on the website. And if you're listening to this and you're not part of the Facebook group, I would recommend hotbreathcomedynetwork.com so you can start connecting with our comics and things like that. But it really just comes down to building this community together. So you asking these questions, this is a milestone in Hot Breath. So thank you for being a part of it. This is the first of many Q&A episodes we're going to start doing. I'm so excited. And the video of this will be posted in that Facebook group. And if you are looking, you know, looking for more book work, that was a big thing today, talking about professional and surrounding yourself with other professionals. I would recommend the World Series of Comedy. They do a lot of satellite shows that lead up to a finale in St. Louis that leads to weeks and weeks and weeks of booked work. I went up into the Indianapolis satellite, and I'll be in the finals of St. Louis as well, but just the comedians I met up there from all around the Midwest that book shows, and I'm going to start to create a run and just go up and do a run of shows through the Midwest. You know, maybe that's the thing. Change. You want to change your life, change your environment. And that being said, when you do go register, you can let them know. They ask you where you heard about the festival. If you let them know you heard it from Hot Breath or Joel Byers or me, you know, just let them know. Then they actually show some love to the podcast as well. So that's a good way to not only support your career, but also simultaneously supporting the podcast. So reach out with any questions. I'm happy to help however I can. Closing this out, I have to thank my wife, of course, Erin Byers, for making this theme song you're hearing right now. But, you know, we're developing together. We're learning together. And I think this is only the beginning. So I appreciate y'all so much for taking the time to listen to this. Get out there, keep grinding. I will link in the show notes the World Series of Comedy registration and links to the website and all that jazz. But keep grinding out there, kids. Comedy ain't easy, but it's worth it. And we'll catch you on the flip. Hot breath.
This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.